Illinois State University alum and basketball player turned broadcaster Katie Wingy is getting to live out her dream job. On International Women's Day last week, Wingy made her debut as a television analyst for the Denver Nuggets. It's a role few women have ever held in the NBA. Wingy tells GLT's Eric Stock she never envisioned her career would rise so quickly, especially in an industry dominated by men.
The quick answer is absolutely not. And when I think about, you know, my time at ISU, and I really didn't even decide I wanted to get into broadcast journalism until my sophomore, junior year. I was so focused on just being a player for the Redbirds and being the best player that I could be. I wasn't really thinking post-basketball for a lot of my early years there. But as soon as I kind of decided I wanted to get into broadcast journalism, I knew my goal was regional sports network. I wasn't sure what I wanted my role to be, but I knew that I wanted to work for a team, either as a sideline reporter, a host possibly, and then maybe work in some college basketball analyst positions as well. The more that I got into it, the more that I was like, wow, there are a variety of roles that I really enjoy doing and would like to pursue in this industry. And so I had an opportunity to do some sideline reporting, really enjoyed that, and I still do that. I mix that in with my job with the Denver Nuggets. But I get to do a variety of different things, wear a bunch of different hats. I'm the utility player, for lack of a better term there.
I'd like to go back to a story from graduate school that you told once. Your first class you had to miss because you had to cover the NBA draft. How did your professor handle that?
I had to miss a couple classes because of other opportunities, too. Yeah, it was one of those things, and I believe you're referring to Chris Herring, it was one of my first classes of one of my quarters there. Cassidy Hubarth was my mentor at Northwestern. We got hooked up because she was a Medill grad, and I was in the current sports journalism program, and they thought that we would hit it off, and we absolutely have. She's one of my closest friends in the industry and someone that I turn to for advice. But she had said, look, if you want to work in the NBA, if that's what you really want to do, you need to make your face known at these NBA events. Actually ended up working out though for grad school. We did some live hits from the draft in Brooklyn. So I actually got some class credit for it. But that conversation with Chris Herring was a funny one. I had emailed him and was like, hey, I know this isn't getting off to the best start, but I have an opportunity to go to the NBA draft and get my face in front of the right people and make those connections. And he was so wonderful. He was one of my favorite professors throughout my time at Northwestern. And he just said, absolutely, go do your thing. We'll figure out how we can make it into an assignment for you or give you some credit for doing something like that.
Well, and I'd like to talk about your time at Illinois State as well. As you alluded to, you were a student athlete, a top player on the Redbird basketball team. But we don't know as much about your life as a student at Illinois State. What do you remember most about your experience here? And what from those 4 years stay with you today?
So many memories come to mind. I mean, the first and foremost thing that I think of is just my relationship with professors there. I had so many wonderful people that were on my side and were willing to help me get to where I am today and that I still keep in touch with, or that I still follow on social media and see stuff about their families and how they're doing. And it was so much more than just a professor-student bond at Illinois State. And I loved that about so many of my classes. They were genuinely invested in me as a person. And I felt that from the get-go, and it was more than just about the grade you were getting less about me being a student athlete and more just about, hey, how can we help you get to where you want to be? So I absolutely loved that. And that was a recurring thing. It wasn't just one or two professors. It was almost every professor that I had that I had a stellar relationship with.
As we continue on Sound Ideas, I'm Eric Stock with Katie Wingy, Illinois State Redbird Class of 2015, and now a broadcaster on radio and television for the Denver Nuggets. You wear multiple hats as a sideline reporter, host, radio and television analyst, and those all require very different skills. And how big of a step was it for you, for your career, to move into the analyst role, especially at such a young age? And being a female, there are very few of them in that field as an analyst. They're more sideline reporters. Did you have any trepidation about that? And sort of walk me through your thought process there.
Yeah, I actually had a couple opportunities. So I got my first job with the Nuggets one season ago. And that was as an in-arena reporter. So basically what I did for that was I had my own show. It was called Courtside Countdown. that I produced and wrote all the script for, stacked, organized, and then I was the live host of it in the Pepsi Center, and it aired on the Jumbotron. So I got to wear a lot of hats in that role too, and I loved the creative control that I had in putting together a show that was truly mine. So after I did a full season doing that, that's when Altitude TV was kind of like, look, we like your skill set. We would love to keep you here and move you to the TV side full time, have you be working for the team in that aspect. I get to be an in-studio host. I get to be an in-studio analyst. I get to be a sideline reporter. I get to be a radio analyst. I get to be a TV analyst. It is just a variety of different challenges and tasks, and it keeps me on my toes. It makes me excited to go to work every single day, and it's something that I just have such a passion for, because I get to change, not myself, because I'm so genuine in who I am and what I care about and what I'm passionate about, but the way in which I deliver information, and it's really fun.
Do you see yourself as a pioneer, because there are not a lot of women doing what you do?
At first, no. But the more I've had conversations with people like this, I have realized the platform that I have and the voice that I have. And that's something that I now take a lot of responsibility with. A big reason why I love what I do, and I take it not so seriously, but it's a big deal to me, is because I am serving as a mentor, a role model to a lot of little girls that are watching basketball or want to play basketball, or want to cover basketball. That are fans of teams, and for them to be able to see that there are no limitations in what a woman can do in this league and in this industry, that is a big reason of why I do what I do.
Have you had any pushback at all from certain corners? And I say that because often when you see women on a sports broadcast, I know Doris Burke has commented on this in the past, that fans can get ugly sometimes. Have you had to deal with that in any way? And if so, how have you responded to that? Because there, for some, is an expectation that men should be doing these jobs.
Yeah. I am very fortunate in that I have had a lot of women come before me in this industry that have had to go through much more severe challenges in that respect. And I think because of people like Doris, the fans and the audience are more open to hearing a woman's voice on a broadcast like this. That's not to say I haven't had any pushback, because in this day and age with social media, it is so easy for people to hide behind their screens and hide behind their phones and say things that they would never say to somebody's face. So I think that that's where the pushback that I have gotten, it's never been someone saying something to me in person, really. It's been via social media, Twitter, where it's easy for them to voice and say what they want to say without any punishment, if you will, or any pushback in that way. So even though I don't have it nearly as bad as some of the people who have truly paved the way for women in this league and in this industry, it still exists. It's still out there. And for me, it's just about having thick skin. And I always say, have a conversation with me for 5 minutes, talk about basketball. And I think that you'll see that I know what I'm talking about, and I'll prove you wrong.
One of the women that we've been talking about who helped pave the way for you is Doris Burke, who is at ESPN, and she gave you a shout-out on social media.
Hi, Katie. This is Doris Burke. I wanted to, along with everyone else, extend along my congratulations on your new role covering the Denver Nuggets. And I will so look forward to covering the team and having an opportunity to catch up with you. All the best.
When I first heard that video, it took every ounce of me not to start crying on live TV. I had no idea it was coming.
Oh, so you didn't know.
No idea it was coming. And the other voice that was on that same video was Jenny, and she had an opportunity to be the first play-by-play for the Colorado Rockies that's been a female this past season. So she's a huge voice, a huge pioneer in the Denver community, and Doris, obviously, in the NBA on a national platform. So to have those two women take the time to give me a shout out in that way, it was so humbling. And for a while there, it was so rush. We're getting into the season. Things are happening very quickly. I'm trying to figure out my new roles, where I'm going to fit within this broadcasting team. And then when that moment hit, it was like, take a second and realize where you are. Reflect on that. And you have these two incredible, intelligent, world-changing women that have taken a moment of their day to say, congratulations, you're crushing it, you're going to do great. So it was almost surreal in a lot of different ways. And I've watched that video probably 200 times, probably more, honestly. And it's because of women like that, that, you know, support other women in the industry, and they give newcomers like myself a lot of confidence and belief that we can do this and that our voices matter.
And if I may draw a parallel to minorities in sports, they have struggled for years to get head coaching positions in professional sports. And one of them said they felt additional pressure to succeed because if they failed, that other minorities behind them would be judged the same way. In other words, that's why we don't hire blank. Did you ever feel that kind of pressure, that you were sort of carrying the torch for other women who might be following after you?
Pressure is an interesting word. I don't know if I necessarily feel that. I feel responsibility. And I know that I am in this career for a reason and for the right reasons. It's not for the fame. It's not for the celebrity. It's because I want to be credible and I want to be the person that connects the players to the fans as people and be a storyteller and make it fun just for a couple minutes of someone's day, a couple hours. If things are going poorly, I have an opportunity to entertain them and educate them on something that is a lot of fun and brings communities together. And so for me, the responsibility is in holding myself to a high standard and making sure that I represent women in a way that people want to hear those voices on broadcasts. They are hungry for that. That's something that they strive for, and that diversity is respected and recognized and valued.
As we continue with former Illinois State Redbird Katie Wingy, now a broadcaster for the Denver Nuggets, I suppose we should talk some basketball here. I'd like to get your thoughts on the Redbird women's team now. They had some lean years recently, but now they are becoming a contender again under second-year coach Kristen Gillespie. How much have you followed your alma mater since you left, and what do you think of the program's resurgence?
It makes me excited. I actually have had a couple opportunities because I covered the Illinois State basketball tournament at Redbird Arena the past 2 years. This is the first year that I haven't been able to do that on NBC Sports Chicago. And so I got to speak to the team and talk to some of the women that are now representing the Redbirds and wearing those uniforms and going through the same stuff that I went through as a player. And for me, it was so refreshing to see that group of women taking pride in building the program back to where it was when I was a freshman and a sophomore and coming full circle in a lot of ways. That program is historic, and that was one of the reasons that I wanted to come to Illinois State. And I think of Jill Hutchison and everything that she did, not only just for ISU, but for women's basketball in general. And to be a part of that was incredible for me. And so to see the program resurging and getting back on track and finding the right type of players that represent Illinois State in the way that I wanted Illinois State to be represented and to play hard every single game, it makes me excited for the future for that program. And I think Coach Gillespie has done a phenomenal job really stepping in and establishing new ground rules and new standards, really. It's not going to be they're not going to settle for anything less than the best again. And I really appreciate that and that representation now as a Redbird alum.
That was former ISU Redbird and current NBA broadcaster Katie Wingy with GLT's Eric Stock. Wingy was one of two former Redbirds with the Denver Nuggets this season. Devon Akun-Purcell played in seven games before the team waived him in December. He's now playing in France.